Welcome to the Cheering with Birgit podcast. This is the show where you get your shot of inspiration to get you out of your comfort zone and live life to the fullest. In the last episode, part one of the Thailand adventure, I explained what happened to me on my way towards the Vipassana center, the mistakes I made, the sadness I felt, and the despair. But, as you know, I made it to the bus and we were on our way to the meditation center soon enough. There, I had to hand in my phone, my books, my pens, everything, and we had time to settle in. And then, in the evening, we went into the big hall for the first session. And that's the moment I will take you back to. Let's dive in. Are you ready? On the day I arrived, we had food, we had time to talk to each other. Men and women were already separated, and I was trying to understand how it exactly works. We had a tour of the place, and then we had a small light dinner. And a Thai lady already said to me, "Tonight, after the session in the big hall, we are going in silence." Okay. On our way to the big hall, I'm walking around with, let's say, my friends from Switzerland, Russia. We were put at an international table in the area, so we could connect a little bit more. And the Thai people were more sitting with the Thai people just because of language, and we were still allowed to talk, so that kind of puts us at ease. So we're walking there, and you see this big hall. There are all these blue cushions on the floor with small cushions and whatever, and there you get your place. And for the whole course, this is always your place. It has your energy, and you're not allowed to sit somewhere else. Men were on the left side, women on the right, and up front, all the way up front, I was quite in the back, was a monk. And when I looked on the left side, I saw many monks in their orange clothing, like you see when on the TV or when you read books. Wow, okay. So apparently the real teacher, Mr. Goenka, he was only on audio, and in the night we would see him on video. So the monk in front was officially assistant teacher who put on the recordings, who supervised, and apparently they do a lot of energy work as well for people to meditate better. And I don't know. It's a mystery. Anyway, everybody's busy enough with themselves and quite nervous. So we start the session, and I hear Mr. Goenka in his Burmese English explaining some vows. And apparently you had to say, "I will restrain from killing animals." So you would eat vegan. You're also not allowed to eat flies. Okay. I'm not going to edit this out. To kill flies or mosquitoes or wherever, you let every living being be. Even the ants on the floor, try not to step on them, basically. You had to let go of religious rites because it would confuse you with the technique. To be clear, Vipassana meditation isn't a Buddhist thing per se. Buddhists do it a lot, but the course itself, the technique, doesn't interfere with any religion. So it's really for everybody. They just don't want you to mix up all the rituals because there's so much going on when you're learning to do Vipassana. You had to restrain from sexual activities, also with yourself. And I think there were 10 things that you had to promise and say and repeat. Well, for me, it was kind of hard to follow in the beginning because I wasn't that acquainted with that accent yet. And the other language they used was Thai. So I didn't quite understand everything, but apparently we did meditation, the first part, which wasn't Vipassana, which was another technique. And then we were in silence. So I didn't realize I wasn't able to talk to anybody again before walking in. And yeah, that's it. So after leaving the session, we couldn't make eye contact. We couldn't talk. Everybody was silent. Yeah, I was a little bit scared. And then we went to the video room, which we would sit as the international people for the English video from Mr. Goenka. Men and women separated just by a cloth, two TVs, watching the video that was probably shot somewhere in the 80s or 90s. Yeah. Then that was the D course, and he would explain what happened, and he would actually explain why the silence and what was going to happen in the next days. And it was very interesting. I have to say, I always got really enthusiastic and fired up and ready to roll. So seeing the video in the night for me made it really difficult for me to sleep. It would just really wake me up and make me a bit anxious, nervous for the next day. Going into silence has the purpose to go deep inside yourself so you can do deep cleaning. So all the pain you stored in your body, all the grief, all the sadness, all the bad habits, for instance, thinking is an addiction, is a bad habit, it doesn't serve you. By going silent, by not communicating with each other, not being expected to communicate, you are only able to go inside. But as long as you keep talking, as long as you would write, text on your phone, make calls, even look people in the eye, that's communication, your brain would start producing more words, more thoughts, more. And by not doing those, your head gets more and more quiet. And then you go inside. Yeah. Well, I thought, okay, it's actually not that hard because nobody expects me to talk. I like to chat, but I'm good. And really, not talking was actually really convenient. Not having to be social, not having to be all these things. I am normally really bubbly. You want to make people happy. You don't need to do that. You just do you. Amazing. So it wasn't that hard. The schedule and what we had to do in a day, that was really hard. It was incredibly hard work. And also one of the vows you took, and they explain you why, is that you cannot leave earlier. You have to finish the full course, which is officially 10 and a half day. Mr. Goenka also explained that he actually wanted to leave after the first 3 days because it was so hard and it was not helping and he felt really bad, and they stopped him. And that was a good thing because in the end he got so much out of it as a businessman from Burma that he made it big and accessible for everybody all over the world for free. You can do this course on so many centers in the world for free. You can look at www.dhamma.org. I will put it in the show notes. And it is really, really recommendable. You don't pay. It runs on donations afterwards. If you want to give a donation, you can. If you don't have the money, that's okay. And you can even say, I want it to be invested in this project or this project. So it's a very honest thing. You don't need to go all to Thailand. You can do it in Europe, in many countries, in multiple places. Okay, let's not ramble on about that. Let's go inside. So day 1 to 3 is Anapanya meditation. And what is Anapanya? Anapanya was basically observing a small spot on your face, on your upper lip or your breath, for almost 11 hours a day. Every day the exercise became a little bit different, and that was really hard for me. I'm a person, I am so easily bored. 11 hours observing the sensations on my upper lip. And I tell you, there are a lot more sensations in your upper lip than that you can feel, because you're brain is not trained to feel all the subtleties. And why do we have to do that? Because we had to train our brain to be really sensitive to small differences, sensations, and concentrate on it. This is the pre-work we had to do to learn Vipassana, but we had to be sensitive enough to really be able to do Vipassana. Oh, 11 hours a day. And everything hurt already on day two. Painkillers, not allowed. Forget it. No pain, no gain. I said this in another episode. It's really true. The 11 hours a day sitting and meditating made my legs sleep. So I couldn't sit still long. My circulation isn't that good. It hurts your back. It hurts your neck and everything. And you are just gonna observe it. Observe the pain. You can stretch before and after, but you're just gonna do it. And next to that, there was also the heat and my jet lag and the waking up really early and the not being able to sleep in the night after the video because I was just too switched on and like, oh, tomorrow we're gonna do this. And on top of my roof, there was also a bird. So I would hear, yeah, a gecko. So the gecko was my friend who kept me awake. And it was amazing because this is such a different environment than Europe. So gecko on my roof, me jumping up as upside down in my bed in the night. And in the morning, I think 4 o'clock we had to wake up. You had a half an hour to get ready. And then the two first hours you had to meditate without guidance. But I didn't understand that. So I went to the big hall. You can sit there on your own pillow. But there was no teacher. But there was this 2 hour Anyabanya, Mr. Goenka singing in Sanskrit. And you start hearing very weird things in what he's singing. I had a whole lyrics made up in English, but it's not true. But you know, your brain wants to be distracted. And next to that, I was so tired. When I started meditating, I would easily fall asleep. I already arrived tired, as I explained in the last episode. But yeah. The boredom also turned out to be my enemy. And when I am bored, I tend to fall asleep. And this became a true lesson because there was a monk even that would fall asleep. And the teacher, monk, would then shine him in his face with a torch to wake him up. And that was really funny. But yeah, I figured I just keep going. And if I fall asleep, I pick myself up. I found myself sleeping on the floor, especially before breakfast, which was served 7 a.m., which was a hot meal, by the way. But by then, you would feel like a hot meal. And it was so good. A vegan hot Thai meal made by cooks, because labor is so cheap there. They actually have real cooks. In other parts in the world, they might not have it. So I'm really happy with that. And everything tasted brilliant. And then we would have a session with guidance and extra exercises. And then we had a hot lunch. And we had rest in between. And you're trying to sleep or walk around. But there is just nothing to do, nothing to distract yourself with. And you go deeper and deeper inside. And yeah, you start to feel pretty shit, I have to say. You go into the deep end and they warn you for it. Everything starts hurting day two, day three. Every shitty thing that happened in your life starts to come up already. You are getting really bored with the Anyapanya. Upper lip, small part of your upper lip. And you're like, ugh. But you know, something will happen and something will change because they already tell you on day 6 or 7 or maybe 8, depends, you will get feel better and you will come out of the black hole and start rising and feeling lighter and better. So you know that's going to happen and you just have to do the work and wait for it. Well, day four was there, and it almost felt like an exciting birthday. I would walk in the breakfast time at 7 a.m. and there was written on the whiteboard, "Today is Vipassana Day. Congratulations, you made it to day four." And well, that felt really special. And all the workers that would help you, that you occasionally have to speak with or talk to ask for toilet paper or something, which was really scary to do because you're not used to talk anymore. But they say, yeah, that you were making a big deal about it. So I really felt like it was my birthday or something. And then we got the explanation of the new technique. And step by step, we were learning to observe sensations in our whole body. And there's a certain sequence that we had to follow. And that's Vipassana. And without the Anyapanya, you cannot do Vipassana. And I understood. And still, it's very easy to dream away. And every time you get distracted, that's what happened with meditation. You don't stop your thoughts. It is observing the thoughts like clouds coming by in your head. And by not going into discussion with them, by not playing with the clouds, the thought will just pass and it won't become a story. But you get distracted every time, and then you come back. And our mind is a monkey mind, and that's why we scan our whole body to give it something to do. And also, you, by feeling the sensations in your body, it provokes different kinds of memories and thoughts and feelings and pain. And that's the deep cleaning. So all this bullshit that people say, you have to give things a place. Please do not give things a place. That's why your body hurts so much. That's why you have pain in your organs. That's why you probably get diseases. Giving things a place in your body, storing it there, makes you ill and makes you miserable. But we don't know another way in the Western world. And that's why I recommend you to start meditating. You don't have to do Vipassana and do this so hard. Even by simply putting a timer on for 1 minute in the morning and 1 minute in the evening to start with, sit on your pillow and just observe the thoughts that come by or focus on your breath, that is already making a change. Because what you're doing when you are meditating is training your brain like a muscle, first of all, to not react on everything. For instance, now here it's very hot in the Netherlands. Everybody is bothered about the flies and mosquitoes. I don't respond to flies and mosquitoes anymore. I don't have that reaction like, oh, there's a fly. Just let him be. I don't care. My brain does not respond. And my brain sometimes doesn't respond even in better cases, like when people on the highway do something really dangerous. I had to step on my brakes 2 days ago and I didn't even get angry. I was just grateful that I was able to step on the brake really quickly, keep everybody safe. And I realized that, like, okay, I of course I was like, it's the adrenaline, and I was like, ah, that's dumb. But before, I would get really angry or try to sign to the guy or maybe even put my middle finger up or whatever. Or I just thought, okay, this person is not in the best shape today. I'm not going to stay behind this person. I'm going to go by, but I'm not going to say anything. There's no way somebody would put himself or herself at risk for fun. Basically, yeah. Didn't check the dead angle and was trying to come on top of me on the left lane. That really changed me after so many years, and I'm grateful for that. But let's go back to meditation. The spotting your body. Don't store things in your body. Set the intention to let things go. And when you do that, you will let things go. Without forcing it, it will go. Feel everything instead of overthinking everything. Easier said than done, huh? I know, but that's why you have to start meditating, or at least do some mindfulness. Really, it changes your life for the better. Well, I wasn't feeling that good day four, day five, but I was getting the hang of Vipassana and I was coming into the deep, deep layers. and the discourses every night from Mr. Goenka were actually my favorite part, because he was speaking slow, but he had so many interesting things to say. He was so wise, so interesting, his vibe that he was sending out. And I was really understanding, and also not understanding it in my mind, but understanding it from what I felt in my body. And the most amazing thing is that all the answers are really inside you. And that sounds like a cliche, but you really start understanding what it means when you do Vipassana meditation. I wasn't able to talk. I wasn't able to do anything, only listen to Mr. Goenka and the instructions. But I started to put everything together by what was coming up. I even have some traumas that I had that I forgot in the past, with fights with my father and things that somebody did to me that were so painful that I didn't remember. And they were coming up and I observed them, and the tears were flowing, but I wasn't really crying. The tears was like a purge. They came out and I let the thought pass. And the pain in my back and all these things, they really became less and less. So I was letting go. And we also had forgiveness meditation, if I remember right. And I could forgive people that did a lot. And I could look at them again from love and see that people just do what they have to do because they don't know better. That's the best they know. And that it has nothing to do with me. And the only thing that I could do is learn from the lesson and do things differently myself. And I already had this realization on the morning in day 6, I think. So I was very early in the process, starting to lift up. I was flying. I was doing my meditation. I didn't fall asleep as much anymore. I really started to get the hang of it, and working and working and working, because I was feeling so good. So if I could already feel so good in day 6, let's see how I would feel on day 10, right? Well, I would fall asleep sometimes, but the monk, I asked him, and he said I had to give myself pain in my ear, in my nose, open my eyes sometimes. And we even got sittings of determination, and where you had to try to not move. Well, I would get really pain in my legs, so I had to move one or two times. I'm not good in sitting still. My body doesn't accept. It was painful. When it's painful, you shouldn't do it. And otherwise, I couldn't walk for 15 minutes after the meditation because I had no blood flow anymore in my legs. So that's not healthy, but it was really tough. And then I found out on day 9, on day 8 maybe, that we would go out of silence already in the evening of day 9. Mr. Goenka said, we cannot let you get out of silence on day 10, because in the morning of day 11, you are back out on the street in the world. And see Vipassana meditation as a deep heart surgery. Your heart is out and open. It's a big bloody wound. And you just start closing the wound. And once it's closed, it's really tender. And when it's tender, you need to be careful. So, he said, you only have 24 hours in silence. Do the work. Meditate when you walk. Meditate when you eat. Meditate when you wash your dishes. Meditate when you shower. Do the work. And oh, I did the work. I was like, yeah. Oh, one day less in silence. Oh, I never have this opportunity again until I do another course. Let's go. Let's go. I started feeling good. I was flying. I felt reborn and lighter and happier. And I could forgive so many people. And I forgave myself. I did a lot of things that I wasn't happy. I finally forgave myself for the stuff that I did to myself. The eating, the not taking care, picking the wrong man, fighting with my father, all these things. And on day 10, in the evening, after the session, we were out of silence. And it was so much fun. I'm still in contact with a couple of people. We could talk and share experiences, and we were like, "Wah!" And it's very interesting to see how different everybody's journey was. Some people felt really bad until a lot later. And I actually sense that you can feel each other's energy. You get so sensitive. I have to say, it really opened me up, because I didn't know I was that sensitive and I could read people so well by feeling their energy, but I can. And that's what I discovered also doing Vipassana. And as you could see on my social media, there is a photo of me and Catherine in black and white, taken in the bus back to Bangkok. And you see my face, it's fresh and new, and my eyes are shining again. And I was really happier, lighter, and reborn. And back in Bangkok, I didn't feel an alien anymore. I felt good being on my own. There were a couple of people from Vipassana that I went to for a drink with. I made easily contact, and I was so calm. How agitated I was when I arrived, how calm I felt, and even the noise, the heat, everything, because we were able to talk already on day 10 the whole day. Yeah. The wound got closed and we prepared for the noise and the business. And I never felt as calm as I did in Bangkok, in such a busy place as then. And I had a really nice time. And I flew back to Amsterdam after 3 days. Oh, it was cold arriving back in the beginning of April. I had a few days. They warned you, stay home, be calm. But I was so enthusiastic and I wanted to share with everybody, and everybody could see, wow, she's doing really well. And yes, that was the beginning of me starting to feel better and make better choices for myself. A couple months later, I quit my job. I decided not to go and pursue the job in Australia for Haze. That was the company I worked for, because I had to wait longer, and actually I felt I wanted to study again, and I found a master's study in Barcelona. So next week I will take you to Barcelona. 1 year abroad, Barcelona, master's degree, and learning Spanish. Sounds good? Thank you for listening again to the Cheering with Birgit podcast. If you could do me a huge favor and please tag me in your Instagram or Facebook story if you enjoyed this episode. My handle is at Cheering with Birgit. I would appreciate a lot. Or if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts, thank you so much. I would be really grateful for that. Now, next week, Barcelona. And all the adventures that happened there, being young, wild, and free again. And see you then.